I know some of you are familiar with the message for this evening, and I made some copies of the outline on both sides. The one this morning, I share some of the inner thoughts I had about the commandments of Jesus, and this evening talk about the glory of God. And then when I finished the outline, I realized that there's such thing as the glory of the Christ, and also the glory that is given to us by Jesus, by God. So therefore, we also are somewhat glorious. But I will explain that as I will go. But before I studied the lesson, I said, what Webster had to say about glory? What is glory? Because in my understanding, was glory is everything that is in heaven. That's a glorious place that we want to go when we die, to be with our Father. And this is what Webster said, that glory refers to something that's radiance, brilliance, like a light, you know, like the glory of the heaven, of the glory of the stars, so the brilliance of the star. But also, we don't want to say that a human being is brilliant like a star, because we're not, or radiance like the heavens or like the planets, because we're not. But also refers, according to Webster, where there is honor, there is glory. And of course, we know in God is honor, in Jesus is honor. And when we do what he commands us, that's an honorable thing to do. Not only that, but it does means that it's dignified. There's dignity. So where there is glory, there is dignity, there is honor, there is brilliance, and there is radiance. And also, lately on Facebook, I noticed there's some science people are putting pictures of the planets and how beautiful they are, and Saturn and the channels or the belts around it, and what does that mean, and how many light years they are from us. All that, I'm very curious about that, and I try to read more. But to me, that's something that is definitely something to be amazing. It's an awesome. And it's brilliant to know that God, in all his imagination and his wisdom, he put him in there, in their own axis, their own same distance, because some of those planets like and stars like the sun is a star, and if it's too close, we're going to burn. If it's too far, we're going to freeze. So they put it right at the right place where it keeps us warm, and it helped with our produce and the farmers and things like that. So when I talk about glory, depending on what the occasion is, then you start to think that this really means dignity and honor and the beauty. And of course, we know that Jesus is our light, and we are supposed to be sons of the light, right? And we obey the gospel. But let's see what the Bible had to say about reference to glory. I started with Matthew 6:13. Matthew 6:13, it says as follows. Do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. So the glory of God has power. The glory of God is strong enough to deliver us from evil. Just think about that. That the power that he has, he had put it in effect things and elements to help us stay without sin. Of course, that means when he gave us his son to die for us. But in this particular case, he has kind of, to me, it's like a blessing to know that God cared enough for us that he had provided a way to deter the temptation of the evil one. Because we also know there's such thing as a evil person in the world who's trying to look for a witness and trying to tempt us. And talking about temptation, go to James 1:12. Show you what the Lord has done for us. James 1:12. It says as follows. Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. That's in James 1:2. So, as Christians, we're supposed to endure things like that. You know, we sometimes, it happened to me practically every time I sit to watch TV. Just watching a nice channel, or I like some old movies, and they start showing these old movies made back in the 30s and 40s, you know. But there wasn't too much at that time. You know, the movie didn't have too much sex on it and cursing and killing and all that. But guess what? Every now and then, even in the advertisement, they put something. I say, why is that there? Why is that there? It's not necessary. So I just change it or turn it off or wait until it's finished and, you know, do something else, get up and give me something to drink. So what I'm trying to say is that there's temptation. We bombarded with temptation, not only at home and at work, school, or wherever we go. Even we go to the store to buy something, and you hear some people cursing somebody else or somebody else, an argument or something. They say, "What is that going?" And they came here to buy something. Buy it and say adios, adios. Why you have to start arguing? And the thing is, you know, it's like our world is also always full of things going on that we have to be careful. We don't want to get involved in that. Then we might be found culpable. Next thing you know, we are in jail doing some time for things that we didn't go to the store for that. But nevertheless, we know that the glory and power of God is forever. And in this particular case, for us to make sure that we're going to be part of that glory forever, we have to endure. Endure what? Endure the temptations. Endure whatever it is, seem to be appealing, but we know it's not going to help us to stay faithful Christians. So we try to avoid that. And of course, I would think that the Father, you know, he's happy about us, with us, that we're able to do that. And why are we able to do that? Because we have read that we are supposed to not be tempted, allowed to be tempted. Temptation is always going to be there. But he provided a way. Now, stay in Matthew, go to 16:27. Matthew 16:27. It says as follows. The Son of Man will come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he will reward each. Each of us is going to be rewarded. How? Look at the last part of that sentence. According to his or her works. You know, it makes sense, because when we work at work, even the works that we have, the jobs that we have, sometimes if we don't show up, we might not get paid for that day, unless we have a good excuse or we have enough leave accumulated that it was okay. But we might even lose our job. So if we are not faithful workers of whatever job we have to go to make a living, you know, we are becoming a detriment to those people, not only to those people that we work for, to our family, because we got to support our family, and we do it through our jobs. So consequently, in this particular case, to know that the Lord will judge us and reward us according to the work. So we start thinking like this, not only that we're going to be judged according to our deeds, but it's going to reward according to. So how many works, let's suppose that I have a basket here. How many works have we put in my basket? Have I put in my basket? So I will get a reward for them. You start thinking about that, you know. You say, well, how you explain this? I say, well, if you're going to reward according to my works, it cannot be only one. It's plural, works. So that means that when we have opportunity, we try to share the gospel. When we can help somebody, a sister or brother, or even if not a sister or brother, a neighbor that needs our assistance, we're there to help. So all those are good works. It's expected of us, especially the Christian, because we are blessed to be thankful for. We have a Christ that died for us. The non-Christian don't have anybody until he become a Christian. He might not even know what the Lord has done because nobody have approached him. Or he has been approached and have been told, but doesn't care. That's on him. But you see, that 27, the Son of Man will come in the glory of his Father. So the glory of his Father becomes the glory of Jesus too. Because it's like it permeates him or whatever it is. We soon after we go to heaven, we'll be in the glory of God. We'll be part of his glory. And I think we are to the extent that he created us. So just like he created the moon and the stars and all those are glorious elements in the heavens, we are part of that glory too because he created us. So when you see that, and we hear that the angels exist, and we hear that those are part of his creation, so those are glorious creations of the Lord. Why they need an angel? Well, the angels play an important part, especially when the New Testament was being formed during that time, during that period, where he told the angels to give the message about the Virgin Mary having a child. Well, that's a miracle right there. That's a miracle. That's the glory of God working what he wanted to do in the case of humanity. And that's how Jesus came. To me, that was a glorious miracle to know that that child eventually grow up to be my Savior. So, you know, those are things that we have to put together to understand what this glory is all about. Remember, it also implies the dignity and honor and the light. And the light. Go now to 1 Corinthians 10:31. 1 Corinthians 10:31. Therefore, whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do it all to the glory of God. Just think. How does me drinking something have to do with the glory of God? I was thinking, you know, I started thinking, wait a minute. I know what it says, and I believe it, and by faith I know this is the word of God. But what does having a drink or having to eat something, like we all went to lunch, some of us went to restaurants, some of us went home and cooked and ate. Nevertheless, what that food had to do with the glory of God? You know, and I asked myself those questions. What? Then I started thinking, wait a minute. Suppose that instead of eating something good, something is affecting me. Suppose I drink something healthy for my subsistence, I drank something that's going to affect me adversely, like an alcoholic beverage. Why do I do that? I'm not stupid. I'm not going to do that. I grew up with a father, and I told you this many times, that was an alcoholic. And he paid the consequences because of his liver got messed up. But the thing is, you know, I expect that when I die, my liver is still in good condition. Or it was affected by something that I ate. So I make sure that I don't eat something that I used to eat. Like a long time ago, I used a lot of eggs in the morning, eggs in the evening, eggs in the for supper time. Why was that? When my family didn't have enough money to buy meat, so they gave you rice and beans and an egg. You fry the egg, and you know, when you're a child, you act like a child, and you don't question whatever they give you, you're thankful. And all that cholesterol accumulated, and now I got some hardened arteries. But that was part of my ignorance. I didn't know that affected you like that, and grease affected you like that, and I ate things that were greasy. So consequently, and now pain, my body's paying for that ignorance. And remember, ignorance is no excuse. Ignorance is no excuse. So we have this, that what you do eat and what you do drink is affected. And we have to be careful because whatever we do in that particular place, we have to do for the glory of God. Because he gave us this body. He wants us to take care of the body until he calls us. And if we're not taking care of this body, it's like we don't care what he's done for us. And we don't want to upset our God or to think that we don't care, because we do. You know, we like to be healthy. Every time we go to the doctor, they say, oops, you're gaining overweight, Mr. Henry. Keep it down. I try. It's not easy. But what else I do that is adverse to my body? Do I drink alcoholic? Do I take drugs? No, I know better. So I can't blame nobody but myself. Because this body that we have, it is, was made for you, for the glory of God, to serve God. And he expected to come over to be spotless. And it's not easy to be spotless when there's so many temptations and so many things that we are exposed to. Talking about that, 1 Corinthians 10:31, that says, whatever you eat. There's something similar to that in Colossians 3:17. I look at the references. And in Colossians 3:17, it says, whatever you do in word and deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So look at that. Even the words that we say, we have to be careful. Don't be offending the Lord or offending somebody. And we don't do that. You know, we try to say what we have to say to people without offense, even though some people might take it as an offense. And you know, sometimes even not saying something might be offensive to somebody. We pass by somebody and we don't say hello. And he says, oh, that Henry don't care for me no more. He used to, hey, how you doing? Now he don't even say boo to me. What's wrong? I didn't mean it like that. I didn't even think. I had something else in mind, trying to get something done or something that I had to do that I forgot or I had to rush on to do something. And he's taking an offense, or she's taking offense that I didn't say hello. Well, I try not to look at it like that. If you don't say hello to me as much as I like it, I figure you have your reasons. But I'm not going to take an offense. I don't think like that from you, so why should you think like that from me? But people do, even when you don't say something. What happened? The people in the church don't talk to me, don't say hello. It's, no, they don't even think like that. You are thinking like that. What you need to do is you take the initiative. You go over there and say hello to that person who hasn't said hello to you for a while. Hello? Hello? Anyway, that's how I take that information. Let's go to Ephesians, the third chapter. In Ephesians, the third chapter, verse 20 and 21, it says, now, to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask of or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory. Where? In the church. By Christ Jesus, to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. So, to me, it looks like the power of God don't work only outside in the Christian soul, but also works wherever we are. And if we're in the church, that part there means that we should be the best Christian we can be. We should be like that all the time. But I do know that then outside we don't have to participate in things. Over here we do. Over here you all participate in singing, you all participate in the communion, you all participate in the classes with your comments. And we as teachers really need those comments, because sometimes you bring good comments, good ideas, and we need to hear those, because we as teachers don't think of everything. You think of our lesson plan and try to cover that. That's the main goal. And when you help us with all the ideas and some other scripture that amplify what we said, we like that at all. We really like it. We enjoy that. I'm talking subjectively, of course, but I know most teachers that have been exposed to, they like to see the people involved. Even when I was a teacher outside in high schools and in college, I wanted the student to get up and write. What do you think? You opposed that idea, but let me see your idea. And see them going over there and substantiate it or defend it. To me, that was, this guy have it together. This young lady really, really been studying, because look what she's able to explain. And that helped the teacher a lot. And we learn from you, just like you're learning from us, and we all learn from the Word of God in this particular case. So here we have in Ephesians that we had just read telling us, in verse 21, He says, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus, to all generation, forever and ever. To him be the glory. So what I'm trying to say is this, everything we do within the church is to the glory of God. When we take communion, it's to the glory of God. When we sing, it's to the glory of God. When we pray, to the glory of God. Everything we do is to the glory of God. We want to keep him happy. He's our Father. I mean, didn't we do that when we were coming up? We want to keep our mom and dad happy because they were taking care of us. They gave us substance. They love us. They care for us. When we were sick, they took us to the hospital. I mean, they did a whole so much for us that we owe them a debt that is eternal. We can never pay for everything they did for us when we are alive depending on them. Well, now we have grown. Some of us have children. We have done the same thing for our children. That's our duty. But here, he's talking about everything is done for the glory of God. And why not? He created us. Talking about that, to me, it's like saying the church is a cocoon where we learn how to be better Christians. Because just by reading the Bible, we have a lot of knowledge, but sometimes we don't put it in context. That's why, as Brother Mark said this morning, some people take parts of the Bible and say, this is the way you're supposed to do. But he also said, this is part of it. And you don't want to talk about this part. Why not? It's just as important as that part. So that's what happens. So in the church, we learn to discern what is important and to realize that something cannot be eliminated just because some preacher said, you don't need to do that. But the Bible says you do. It's many things that we differentiate us as a Church of Christ members and other places that teach in error. Look in Philippians 4:19. Philippians is right after Ephesians. In 4:19 it says the following. And my God shall supply all you need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now to our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. You see what the Lord is doing for us? Wow, you know, look at that sentence. We sometimes take for granted things. It's like we take for granted that when we seek our father and mother are going to take us to the hospital. We don't know if they will. Some people don't have enough money to take him there, so they do the best they can. But never mind, here is in verse 19, and my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Isn't that beautiful? That we have a father that loves us so much that he's going to take care of us. Of course, we've got to meet him halfway, you know, or more than halfway, 100% the way. To make sure we comply and we obey his commandment and we try to live the Christian life the best way we can. So this is what he's doing for us. Even after we already become Christian, that's when he really cares. Before, when we opposed him or were outside Christ, we were on our own. But now we are part of a member of a family of God through Christ. To me, this is kind of an eye-opener. Because, hey, I can work. I got muscles. I got a little head that can think, and I can make money and all that. Yeah, but is that all the life to it? And suppose that you accomplish so much here with the money and the intelligence you have, and then what? When you say adios to this world, money's not needed. Where are we going? Then what? All the accumulation of money, and some of those. People running for office talking about, I got billions. I don't need nobody to help me. I got billions. Well, you don't need anybody to help you, but you're going to need people to vote for you. So what do you have to offer them as Americans to improve our country, to be a little more caring of others, less fortunate? Because sometimes, I personally think that sometimes things start changing to the point that it seems like richer get richer and the middle class is fading. They're fading. And middle class is really the one that made this country as strong as it is. So some of that, you know, is opinionated, but I'm just telling you some of the things I think of what's going on. So hopefully, you know, there's a turnaround where it go back to everybody to be able to get enough blessing for our country, what the country had to offer, so everybody can live a peaceful life with our neighbors and with ourselves and take care of our children and our families. So here we have in Philippians 4:19. Now, I was thinking of what Philippians 4:19 had to do with other verses of the Bible, and I noticed that in Ephesians 1:17, it says, "The God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, might give to you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. I pray that the eyes of your heart might be enlightened so that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of his glory, of his inheritance in the saints." So we are heirs. Guess what? We are heirs of all that. We as brothers and sisters of Christ, we as brothers and sisters of one another, we are part of a family. And our Father God, he would provide for us. He would not provide for me more than we provide for somebody else. On the contrary, I might need to be less than somebody else. A sister or a brother that doesn't have a job yet and looking for one, he needs more help. And if he stays strong, he is the Lord saying, "I provide for you. I will take care of you. Stay faithful." Because, you know, in life, we have ups and downs. You know, we have ups and downs in everything, in even how we get along with our spouse or our children or our families. Sometimes we have ups and downs where we work with our bosses and our co-workers. No matter where you are. I remember having problems sometimes with my superiors and sometimes with my people that were in the same rank I was or maybe below. Why? Because, differences of looking at things. Well, we did it like that all the time. He said, "Yeah, but have you tried this way?" "I don't know. This worked. Why should I try something else?" "Because this might make it faster. It might be easier using these tools, and you do it by hand." You know, it's like digging a hole with your hands, and somebody offered you a shovel. "I don't need no shovel. I can fix it." "Yeah, but it's easier with the shovel, isn't it?" "That's true." "So change. Get the shovel, say thank you, and you finish faster." So, you know, it's a matter of common sense. It's a matter of common sense. But in order to do that, we need to get along with the people that depend on us and people that might have difficulty that we can help. So there's a lot of actions between us and other people. And if they are Christian, I think we sometimes able to communicate a little easier because we also have the same mentality. But when it's other people, it's sometimes hard. Okay, that is just talking about the glory of God. Now I go to the section of the glory of Jesus. The glory of Jesus. Look in Luke 24. For the glory of Jesus. Matthew, Mark, Luke. Luke 24. And verse 25 and 26. Luke 24, 25 and 26 says, "Then he said to them, 'All foolish ones and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory?'" So some people doubted. Some people, "Why are you putting up with this, Lord? Why are you have let people do this to you? Why can we do something different?" He says, "Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things." In other words, he knew his mission. And nothing, not even the apostle, not even the unbelievers will detract him from his mission. And I was thinking, you know, that's a good mentality to have. If you're given a mission, and some of you are military, have been exposed to military, when you're given a mission, you're supposed to stay on that mission until it's accomplished. Unless the superior tell you, "Okay, that's enough, let's do something else." Then you do something else. But you don't on your own say, "I'm not going to do that. Hey, that's a difficult mission. Hey, wait a minute, I'm going to get killed. I'm not going to go that hill." What? What are you doing in the military? You wasn't going to take orders. And really, those are the people. I remember when I went through to some of the schools that I went in the military, some of the things they tell you is, that is when you prove that you can be a leader, when you have learned to take orders and accomplish them the best way you can. then you can become. But if you're a person who question everything just because you don't like it, or you question everything because it might hurt you, well, hey, the things we do in the military might hurt us, but you have to do it anyway. Or get somebody to help you doing it. It means like digging a hole. You don't think digging a hole is no problem. Well, how long that hole going to be? And suppose that water is seeping there. Are you going to stop this water? No, you got to keep digging until the boss says that. Don't dig anymore. Of course, you have to use the common sense and let the boss know, hey, there's water going in there. It might drown. But nevertheless, you know, you have to think of what we're supposed to do as workers for the Lord. And the thing, this thing about the glory, sometimes we think of outside the church. But look what it says in Hebrews 2:10. Hebrews 2:10, it says, and I'll be reading up to 13. 2:10 says, for it was fitting for him for whom are all things and by whom are all things in bringing many sons to glory to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. For both he who sanctifies and those who are being sanctified are all of one, for which reason he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare your name to my brethren in the midst of the assembly. Look what this is being said. Look what this in the assembly. Where is the assembly? The assembly of God, the church. I will sing praise. We sing praises here, right? Every time we meet. And again, I will put my trust in him, capital him, so you know who that is. And then he says, and again, here am I and the children whom God has given me. So here's Jesus talking about what he has done with these people in the assembly. It's like he's the motivator. Why are we here? Because he motivates us by what he did for us to do this to please him. We are not to forsake the assembly. Some of us do. Sometimes we do have reasons for it. We'll be out of town, or we're sick, or whatever the case. But when we are healthy and we can do a lot of things, why not also include an hour or two with the church, especially on the days that we have decided to assemble and study the Bible. So here is the Lord talking about how he looked at it. I will declare your name and my brethren. And my brethren means us. In the midst of the assembly, I will sing praises to you. So, you know, we're not alone. Every time we come here, we're not alone. The Lord is here with us. We have to believe that because that's what he has said. In spirit, of course. And we have a song. Do all in the name of the Lord. In word, in deed, as God decreed. Do all in the name of the Lord. We know about that. That's Jesus, our Jesus, doing so much. Even after he died and went to heaven, he's still doing for us. He's doing for us. He must really love us. That's all I have to say about that. He must really love us. Okay. Look in John 2:11. John, that'd be the Gospel of John. He says, the beginning of the signs of Jesus did in Cana of Galilee and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him. After this, he went down to Capernaum, he, his mother, and his brother, and his disciple, and they did not slay him there. They did not stay there many days. So, even from the beginning of Jesus, he was giving signs of his power and his glory. And his talent. In other words, we do know there is a God. We do know there is a Christ. We do know there's a Holy Spirit. And we do know that there's rules. Why all that? For our benefit. For our benefit. You know, every time you go in a car, most of you do things that is great. You have a little prayer. Lord, I want to reach my destination safely. And that's the Lord listening to that. Not to my benefit or to anybody else's benefit, but to your benefit and your family's benefit. You do that prayer. Because we don't know. We can be. They say most of the accidents we have is within 20 miles of your home. So just because you go close home or you're just getting off home, you don't know what's going to happen right there. But in word of thee, do it all in the name of the Lord. There's another section here after the section of God and Christ, the section about the Christians. But you have it in your outline. The thing is, we owe a lot to the Lord. So we need to stay firm. We need to stay strong. We need to endure. If you haven't done things like that, that you know you're supposed to do, we need to ask the Lord to forgive us. Stay strong. And we not yet have learned enough to become a Christian. Need to get to some of the members here that can explain to you that we need to believe, we need to repent, we need to confess the Lord, and we need to be baptized and remain faithful. If you need some help, please come forward. I will stand and sing the song of invitation.